It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Voters head to the polls Tuesday for the August partisan primary. Two questions on the statewide ballot seek to amend the state constitution.
Both of those questions involve a check on the governor's powers. Voters will be asked to weigh in on who gets to decide on how to spend federal money when that money comes to our state without specific spending requirements.
WPR reporter Sarah Lear joins us to explain what the ballot measures could mean and the politics surrounding these questions. Sarah, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
It's great to be here.
Well, walk us through what each ballot measure is saying and what it would do.
The first ballot measure says the legislature would not be able to delegate its power to appropriate money. And the second measure would require legislative approval before the governor could spend federal money earmarked for the state. So basically, what supporters of these amendments want to achieve is to ensure that the governor needs the sign-off of the state legislature before the governor can spend federal money.
And remind us how these ballot questions came to the statewide ballot in the first place, the process here?
It was a lengthy process. The Republican-controlled legislature had to pass resolutions to bring these measures to the ballot during two separate consecutive legislative sessions. They did so despite the objections of Democratic lawmakers. Now, if these proposals are approved by a majority of voters on August 13th, they'll add amendments to the state constitution.
You know, there have been concerns floated that the language is hard to understand, that it's using legal words, or that I've even read that it's wordy. Have you heard any concerns about voters being able to understand what is being asked of them in these questions?
Some people have raised that issue. I mean, historically, constitutional amendments in Wisconsin have been more likely to pass than not to pass. And some might argue it's not clear whether voters actually understand what they're voting for. But Democrats have been campaigning pretty actively against these measures, and that includes the governor, and that includes the chair of the Democratic Party. And so they are making a concerted effort to get their message out.
The amendments would limit the powers of governors to spend these federal dollars flowing into our state without, legislative input. Why would the state legislature be pushing for these amendments now?
So during hearings about these proposals, Republican lawmakers brought up billions of dollars in federal COVID-19 relief money. That money was designated and sent out by the administration of the Democratic governor, Tony Evers. Republicans criticized that process, saying it lacked transparency and oversight. On the other hand, Evers and people in his administration defended how that happened, saying money had to get out quickly to help people during COVID.
And can you talk about the groups that are on both sides of this issue? Who is supporting these amendments? Who is rallying against them?
So supporters include Republican lawmakers who brought these to the ballot, also the conservative Badger Institute and Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. The opponents include many Democrats. There's also a broad coalition in opposition that includes public health and environmental groups. Among those opposing are the Wisconsin Conservation Voters and the Wisconsin Public Health Association.
Now, you said that there is this history that when voters go to the polls and see questions or amendments put to them, that they're not shot down, that they get approved. Looking at the reporting from Wisconsin Watch saying that, the Republican-controlled legislature has put forth 7 constitutional amendments on ballots over the last 2 years, are these ballot questions becoming more prevalent in our state?
So these types of constitutional amendments have become prevalent in the last few years. One thing to note about them is that they don't need the governor's approval. So the Republican-controlled legislature can get them through without worrying about a veto from the Democratic governor. It's also worth noting that while it's a lengthy process to actually get these to the ballot and before voters, once voters give them the okay, assuming they do that, these changes are written into the state constitution. And that's more permanent than passing a law. It's more difficult to repeal or amend.
are there concerns that this is coming to voters during what is traditionally a low turnout election in August, not the general election in November?
You know, perhaps that could affect the outcome. November's election will be much higher turnout, much higher interest. And, you know, I mean, I think there are concerns among some people that voters may not understand what's before them when it comes to these amendments.
We're talking about Tuesday's primary election, breaking down these two statewide ballot measures with Sarah Lear, who is reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. Sarah, take us a bit more into this history. How long have Wisconsin governors had discretion over federal funds? What does that history look like in our state?
So in Wisconsin, governors have had unilateral authority over federal funds since the 1930s, and that's something that's set in state law.
Okay. And so the federal government gave Wisconsin, as you said, billions of dollars in pandemic relief aid. How has that history affected the push to change the Constitution?
Right. So that huge influx of federal money has been at the center of discussions about these amendments. But it's also worth noting that these amendments would have to do with more than just the, you know, the pandemic that started back in 2020. Some of the groups in opposition say they're concerned that these amendments would tie up the process and basically add more red tape if Wisconsin has to respond to, let's say, a natural disaster or another public health crisis. Meanwhile, supporters say we need more oversight, we need checks and balances, and that's something positive, regardless of what specifically the federal funds are supposed to be designated for.
Are there other states that allow their governors, their executive branch, to spend these federal funds without special legislative approval?
So, yes, Wisconsin's Legislative Reference Bureau, which is a nonpartisan entity, has looked into this. And there are 40 states, including Wisconsin, that allow their executive branch to spend unanticipated federal funds without special legislative approval. But majority, nearly three quarters of those states, have some type of restriction over that authority that the governor has.
Now, I live here in Madison. I have seen yard signs saying, you know, that relate to this ballot measure. Do you find that people are talking about this in your reporting?
I'd say yes. I mean, there does seem to be some active campaigning on this ballot measure, which doesn't necessarily happen with ballot measures in the past. I mean, it is, you know, what's expected to be a lower turnout election. So I'm sure that will affect things. But, you know, if people want nonpartisan information, they can head to WPR or a news source.
Sarah, I want to switch topics here outside of these ballot questions. The U.S. Senate Republican nomination, you know, going up against Democrat Tammy Baldwin. Can you talk a little bit about this race and what you're seeing?
So the U.S. Senate race, the front runner to challenge Tammy Baldwin, the incumbent, is business executive Eric Hovde. He's the candidate endorsed by the Republican Party of Wisconsin. There's also Regina Ravindran, who entered the race last year when she was a 40-year-old college student at UW-Stevens Point and was chair of the college Republicans chapter there. Also on the ballot will be frequent candidate Charles Barman.
It seems as though Hovde is a much more high-profile candidate, has the endorsement of the party. Is there that momentum there?
That's correct. I mean, it's, you know, really being treated as a race between him and Baldwin, which will be, I'm sure, becoming even more intense as we get closer to November. And of course, it will be on the ballot at the same time as the presidential election. So there's going to be a lot of interest in voting in that race.
What have you seen about the campaign approaches between Hovde and Baldwin as you look at their ads and the money flowing into this race?
Baldwin's campaign and, you know, opponents of Eric Hovde has kind of tried to paint him as an outsider, trying to tie him to California. Meanwhile, critics of Baldwin have tried to tie her to President Biden. and it's going to be a very, very hotly contested race with a lot of spending.
And as you watch the outcomes on Tuesday, what are you watching for? Are there any indications what turnout might look like here in Wisconsin for an August partisan primary in the waning days of summer?
You know, I have not talked to clerks too much yet about how many absentee ballots they're already seeing being returned. Again, it does tend to be a lower turnout election, but people are trying to get the words out about these ballot measures, for example. It's also worth noting that this is an election in Wisconsin that's coming after ballot drop boxes were made legal once again in the state. So that means voters have another way to return their absentee ballots in some communities where the drop boxes are available.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for your reporting. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah Lear is a reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio, and we've been discussing a pair of constitutional amendments up for voter approval in Tuesday's primary election.
Here's some follow-up from a past conversation. We talked about book challenges, removals, and bans at school libraries earlier this week. Lauren sent us an email. Lauren writes, "Hi from Boulder Junction. I'm a parent. I feel very strongly that what is available to kids on the internet and through social media is far more dangerous than anything they're ever going to find in their school library." Lauren says, "I understand parents being scared about what their kids are exposed to, but I feel like going after books and librarians is a misguided attempt to make themselves feel more secure and safe as parents." You can keep sharing your thoughts on that or any topic we talk about here on Wisconsin Today. You can always email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's Wisconsin Today at WPR.org.